I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
There you go. Brand new Slash. The Odyssey World premiere of The River is Rising from Slash with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Yeah. Odyssey exclusive. Play that one more time. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour for you. As I will. That's a good one. All right. Speaking of the 5 o'clock hour, we will drink, we will toast in the weekend with a shot of the day that it is Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Today we got a spooky Halloween-inspired Bad Choice Friday featuring DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
He's gone when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street.
Ooh.
You think they look back proudly on the song or they go, God damn it.
I don't know, man. They probably look proudly about the woman with the blinker on.
I mean, it's better than Wild Wild West.
Everything's better than Wild Wild West.
Right, like
song, movie, you name it.
Right, Will Smith's not exactly like spitting bars.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince taking on Michael Jackson. On Bad Choice Friday, just follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. It'll be Michael Jackson or DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince coming up on Bad Choice Friday. On our question, Men's Room Blank style, it could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Now we always joke about, like, people are like, wait till Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, what the hell are cars? Like, I wonder if Michael Jackson came back. He'd be like, did you ever imagine it be a flash mob?
What's flash mob?
He kind of inspired it.
It's like a thousand of you showing up somewhere and dancing for no reason.
The Thriller dance, to me, is the one, like, it's the one dance that I feel like the most people know a part of.
Because I think it's the easiest to do as far as a Michael Jackson dance.
And that,
yeah, does
that,
it, I mean, right, let's that, be honest, the movements don't involve the most rhythm.
Yeah, you're a zombie.
Then they should play it more at weddings, I think.
Oh, yeah, get everyone up to dance. Like, sure. Hey, come on, Grandpa, well, you already
know,
moved
you
like
know,
it.
You know it. I can't do all the other ones. I can't do the Macarena or anything.
Right, right.
I don't want to dance with people that want to come out and do Thriller dance.
Oh, come on, Ted.
Hey, look, I'm already out there dancing real beats.
And the chicken dance.
Well, the chicken dance is fun.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't flash mob chicken dance, people.
You need to.
That's not a bad
you
call.
You need to flash mob the chicken
dance. Mike, you in my flash mob?
Hell yeah.
Chicken mob.
All right. Guess who it is, Ted?
James.
James, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I once knew a guy that had illegal meat.
Illegal meat?
Yes, I know that sounds stupid, but we're hunting in a different state. And we get up to our, what we call our honey hole, because we get stuff out of there every year. And there was a guy already ahead of us trying to get up in there. He's going into the dark, which is a stupid thing. So, we go in shortly after him, and we split up. And on the edge of private property, which has outfitters, and people are paying like $6,000 and $9,000 to hunt elk up there, and it pushes the elk right across this small area of public land. So all of a sudden we're watching these elk. We know they're on private land. We hear two shots, And we're like, who was that? And it wasn't any of the three of us, but it was another guy that we usually hunt with up above us. And we're like, great. Because they were on private land. So we help them get him out of there. And we're like, no, you take all the meat. Because usually you split it when somebody else gets it if you're all packing it out.
Right.
We're like, you take it because you're in a different camp. You're not staying in the same spot we are. We get back to our camp, and the guy that went in ahead of us already radioed that there was somebody poaching an illegal elk, and he was sitting in our camp going through all the different camps in the area to see who was coming back out with it. And so because the meat was with the other guy, we didn't get busted for anything.
That was a smart move then.
Yeah, one of the few smart moves you'll make in that instance.
I don't understand why he shot two of them.
Oh, no. We didn't shoot two, but it was still illegal because he poached off private land.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Do you still hunt with that guy? Isn't that kind of against the code?
Yeah, he's done. He's not in our party anymore.
Yeah, I think that'd be the moment.
All right. Illegal meat. I like that.
I got some illegal elk.
Hey, man, I'm going to open a restaurant called Illegal Meats.
Well, I mean, $9,000. Is that what it costs to, you know, basically eat a elk?
I mean, that's what they're paying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, is the meat worth $9,000? I mean, I know it's about the opportunity.
Right, the joy of the hunt. But still, $9,000 is steep, man.
I mean, I mean, you could buy a cow for $9,000, you know?
Right.
Right, but I think part of that, too, is that they're on the private land. Like, it's going to be an easier hunt.
Sure. Still, $9,000. I don't know. I'm going to hunt something like a unicorn. Mm-hmm.
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421
I don't hunt unicorn anymore. It turns out they're not real. And I shot a person.
Shot a furry.
I shot two people dressed as a damn unicorn.
I feel so bad.
Meat was good, though.
Meat was delicious. That long port. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Hey, I knew some friends who went up on some towers, you know, those big metal structure, high power tension lines.
Yeah.
That run up and down. Some of them had some lights on them to ward off airplanes.
Yeah, that's exactly why they're there, yes.
Yeah, so they thought it'd be really cool to go ahead and take them and put them in their rooms. So I watched these friends of mine climb the tower, and they got way up there, and they took about three of them, and then they had problems with getting the transformers off of them. So one of them took a sledgehammer and smacked the box, and the whole box went flying out from the tower, and it's all connected together with metal piping, and the whole thing started arcing, and it went way out on the tower, just arcing, and then it headed right back into the metal tower, and I thought they were all like going to be fried on the tower.
That doesn't seem like a fun hobby. You know what I'm saying? Like, all for a light bulb, you know?
It's not a good idea. Look, one of the things we have to do in radio, believe it or not, so, you know, every at least AM, you have your transmitter tower.
You have to do your tower lights in the morning and at night.
But, right, so one of the FCC, FAA, there's a way you can monitor it from your studio. You need to make sure that all those lights are on in the tower, particularly at night and in the morning, like Miles said, for that. Because, again, just for planes. I'm not talking 747s, but, I mean, they're generally smaller planes. Yeah. And, like, if a light is out on your tower and you're working at the radio, you immediately call engineering. They immediately go out there and repair it. Like, that's the equivalent of shining the laser pointer in the pilot's eyes.
There's a reason why there are lights on top of cranes downtown.
Yeah.
There's a reason that the tall buildings downtown have lights on top of them. It's the same thing with, you know, Queen Anne Hill. If you look up there, there's three towers up there. And the reason the lights are all over them is because helicopters are in that area. You've got planes that are headed to the San Juans that land in South Lake Union. You know, there are aircraft that do fly at that level.
Yeah.
So you have to put those lights on there, so that nothing gets smacked.
I mean, I'm a fan of mischievous and vandalism sometimes, but not that.
I just don't need a big old light bulb that I don't know what the hell to do with.
How big do you think those lights are? I've never actually seen one, like, in person.
Well, it had to be big enough to put in a backpack. You know what I mean? That way you could get the damn thing down. Because if you climb up there, and they said they put them in their bedrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine.
I mean, I would think, you got to be like a foot and a half, right?
At least. I would think for it to be good for a plane to see.
God damn, man.
I'm a big old light.
I'm radio tower light bulb. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's see if compared to a regular human.
They're sizable. Yeah, they're pretty big.
That's a big ass light.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, it's not like a, 60 watt. Either way.
I had it pictured like it's massive. Yeah, I know it's not now.
Right.
But there's like two guys, and they're each taking turns like spinning it.
Look how big this one is. I mean, in comparison.
Damn.
That's a big ass thing. It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Cam. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Anyways, gentlemen, I'm in high school, 1985. A friend of a friend waits 2 years to get a car left to him by his uncle. It's a Charles Shelby Boss 302 1970 Mustang, set up to race, dual points, cam from the factory. I help him get this car going, and he basically ruins his life with it.
I was going to ask, how long before something went wrong?
About a month. He lost his girlfriend.
How did he lose his girlfriend?
You're a young guy, no money, right?
All right.
All money goes into the car. Girlfriend gets mad and leaves.
Huh.
Right. He throws a rod out of the engine. Okay. So it's parked at his parents' house. So they get mad at him. So he has to move out. So he ends up trading the car for a Karmann Ghia.
He got rid of that car for a Karmann Ghia?
Yeah. Yeah. And the car guy saw it. The car god saw it because the brakes went out on him, and he drove through a donut shop window in the Karmann Ghia.
In the Karmann Ghia.
Yes.
I do. I will say this. If you that is a car that makes me stop when I walk by it.
Because
the Karmann Ghia wasn't, even when, there were Volkswagen bugs everywhere and people were driving vans and everything else, like, that was still a rare sight.
You'd see
more things. They had a Volkswagen thing, which was more like a Jeep. It was a soft top.
Yeah, I remember that.
You'd see more of those, and you would see Karmann Ghias. So when you see them now, it's like, oh, yeah. Totally forgot about that. It's a cool-looking car, though, man.
It's okay. I would not give up my Shelby for one.
No.
I mean,
no,
out of the two.
No.
Like,
no.
That's a move you make when you have kids. That's usually when you make that upsetting decision to get rid of the cool car and get the ugly thing that's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Or better gas mileage.
I guess so. It's still a two-seater, wasn't it?
It is. Yeah. I don't think that really fits kids.
No.
Even better.
Right.
But right, for a Shelby?
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Just say you hate America and get it over with.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Lily. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola. Hello, Lily.
Hello.
Goodbye, Lily.
A party.
Oh, same again now?
Yeah, start again.
One time my friend took me to a party in high school, and I went to use the bathroom, was looking for a towel to dry my hands, and open up the linen closet, and it was full of bricks of cocaine.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding. And I freaked out, got my friend, told him, I want to go, left the party, told him what happened.
Hello?
Oh, no.
DEA, the whole thing.
All right, hang on. You blinked out for a second. You left the party, told him what happened, and then...
I told my friend what happened, and, like, not even a month later, that house and all those guys got busted by the DEA.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it's better than being at someone else's parents' house or something like that. That's where I
was. No, it was, like, I didn't know whose house it was until later on, and it didn't really belong to anyone. It was the kid who was 18, and he was renting this house.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of cocaine.
See, we would have very different reactions to that moment.
Immediate panic. I don't want to be around that much cocaine.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But see, I feel safer with the... with the mom, because she's older, and I'm assuming she knows what she's doing. Whereas, right. Like, her case is like, right, you got an 18-year-old kid wrecking a house with bricks in the, like, not even hidden well. Like, you're just asking to get arrested.
Right, in the linen closet. Yeah, again, my reaction would have been like, hey, who owns this place?
Mm-hmm. My thing would be like, I'm going to get a backpack.
Something, man.
Yeah.
I would come out and be like, we got to go. Why do you need to go? Because I just stole the brick of cocaine from this guy who keeps all these bricks of cocaine in his goddamn linen closet. Let's go.
I was in a house or an apartment once that had way too many drugs. Like, bowls of Xanax and this and that. And I was like, I mean, it completely freaked me. I was like, get me the hell out of here.
I don't really. I'm just not a pill guy. Like, if you're shooting heroin, I don't care. If you're smoking,
they kind of freaked me. I sat on a couch one day with somebody who was shooting up heroin. I was like, wow, man, you are going for it.
Yeah, it just...
And then at the end of it, he was like, to be honest with you, he was the same. So I was then. I was
they're maintaining.
That was more mystified. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, huh. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't.
I was just scared about the amount of stuff they had.
Right.
Because I was with a buddy, same thing, to like get weed. And it was just like, why did you bring me to this drug house?
Why this one?
Right. Because he's like, oh, come with me. Like, God damn it.
Yeah, there's a guy in Baltimore,
why would
man.
You trust that guy to take you? And if you're doing anything.
Well, we all trusted him at some point.
I'm just saying anything remotely shady. Like, somebody, you're the shadiest of all of us.
Yeah.
I can't go there with you.
Yeah, I had a guy in Baltimore, man. He was up in his bedroom getting drugs, getting weed. You know what I mean? And he's like, see that vial up on the dresser? I was like, yeah, you mean the clear bottle of liquid? He's like, yeah, liquid morphine. And I'm like,
Jesus.
God damn, man. I'm like, that's heavy duty. That is beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, just, liquid morphine. Mm-hmm. I haven't stepped foot in that world.
I'm just here for buds. I could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Debbie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So in the 80s, we knew a friend who would sell cocaine.
Oh, geez.
I'm saying 80s and cocaine seem to match up a whole lot, don't they?
Exactly. So we decided to go into business together. She would get the product because she could get a large amount. We would cut, we would package, and we would hold it, and she would sell it, come over and get whatever she needed, and go out and do her thing. We would cut the money together, you know. She used to tell us who she was going to sell to. So we had an idea what she was doing. One night she decided to make a deal on her own of a large amount, and we warned her, probably not a good idea. And she went and sold to a undercover cop.
Mm-hmm.
They caught her and put her in jail. She never said anything about us. It was, you know, all her, nobody else.
How long were you sweating that? How long were you worried that she's going to drop your name?
Oh, God. We weren't really that nervous about it because she was a really good friend.
All right.
And because she didn't do that, we went and bailed her out.
Oh, you did bail her out?
But we bailed her out, yep, because she was so cool and not doing that. But we had cops come to our place and search it for anything.
Because you bailed her out.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, what you need to find was a Joe Blow off the street and say, hey, man, I'll pay you $100 if you go there and take this cash and bail this person out of jail.
But they sort of got a hint of who we were, you know, because they figured that she wasn't doing it alone. But we had gotten rid of everything, and so we were, you know, we were safe. But what was really great about that at the time, after she got arrested, was that the money that we made allowed us to go on a vacation to Snowmass, Colorado, with a ski in, ski off, a condo. They deliver your groceries. They do all this other stuff. But, you know, they
so you went on a ski vacation from selling blow.
Yes,
it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was it.
Let me ask you this, Debbie. You said that you'd get your coke, you'd cut it. What were you guys cutting coke with back in the 80s?
It was like vitamin E. It was powdered vitamin E.
Okay.
Good, you know, we wanted to make it stay good. You know, some people cut it with baby powder and stuff.
Yep.
But
baking soda, baby powder.
I'll be damned. I'm learning so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I really am.
I guess vitamin E is probably more of the 80s, because coke was huge in the 80s, man. I mean, like, that was the go-to drug. It shows, like, Miami Vice were glorified, all that stuff. Like, blows the thing, Studio 54.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone in Hollywood, every musician, like, and it didn't matter that you could be country, you could be rock, it didn't matter. It's like, oh, yeah, we do blow, and people were pretty open about it.
Las Vegas, I mean.
Hey, people just aren't as open.
What's that?
People just aren't as open now. But, for a little bit, but to me, like, wherever there's money, there's cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Man.
It's kind of changed the prescription drugs have slowly started
to
take over.
I think that's one of the big differences, because one of the things, and look, you can develop a prescription drug, and in theory, you're doing it for some medical benefit. I won't deny that, but they also understand, hey, this illegal drug has a medical benefit. People just abuse it because they call it a drug. So when you lobby the FDA, Oxycontin, basically, you say, what makes heroin illegal, right? And they go through all the list of things that are there, and they go, if we subtract this one ingredient, it's not heroin, it's just oxys, and we can sell it. I mean, that's the name of the game, man. So a lot of these drugs, You mimic the street drugs because people like them.
They do it synthetically and everything else.
Do it synthetically, right? It's got the corners on it, and bam, next thing you know, you are a legal drug dealer.
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Taser. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my dad once came across a 1972 Gran Torino Sport, and it was an old retired guy, and he told my dad $800, and he could take it home, and so my dad couldn't believe it. It only had 62,000 miles on it, so he pretty much got a brand new car for $800.
How long did he keep the car?
I was probably about 12 years, 13 years, until he moved to Arizona.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to drive it?
No, I was too young.
Okay. All right.
That's why your father got it there.
Yeah. So it was cool, though. I mean, you know, especially after watching the Gran Torino, the movie and stuff. I mean, that thing was badass. Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
You said badass. It's all right.
Badass is good.
I'm just glad your dad bought it. After the last few stories, I thought you'd be like, it was only $800, so my dad stole it from me.
Exactly. Right. It had cocaine in it.
Cocaine in the trunk.
Right.
Our question, it could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
We are doing it live. KISW proudly presents Live Day, Solid Gold 70 style. Thursday, November 18th, we will see you at Snoqualmie Casino, and every single thing all day will be live. From the sound effects, to the commercials, to the music, we will do our show live. You'll be a part of the show. Nothing is pre-recorded. Tickets on sale now, KISW.com. This is our one time to get out and have a beer and see you guys.
So. And screw up a lot live.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome.
We hope you'll join us for KISW Live Day up at Snoqualmie Casino. That's going to be a good one. Might even put some money down on some NFL picks.
You know what I mean, Steve? You want to do that Thursday?
I just might do that Thursday.
All right.
Why not?
I'm in.
I can do it. All right, our question. It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, as a kid, I was hopping around the neighborhood looking to make some money, mowing lawns or what have you. And I had one creepy neighbor. It was creepy in only way that oversized glasses and a creeper stash can make you.
Yeah, Miles used to live next to that guy.
I did. He kept a box of toys in front of his door in case kids stopped by.
Everything. There's no reason kids would stop by this man's house.
No, it was the end of a hallway. You had to specifically go there.
That guy, yeah. So we get a very good idea of who you're talking about here.
Exactly. So he tells me he needs some work done, and he's willing to give me cash and guitar lessons, which is what I was really looking for, as well as a free pager number. And I thought that was really strange. So anyway, he brings me into his garage, and he's got dozens and dozens of bins full of what I can only imagine are stolen pagers. And this is probably early 90s, right before cell phones really became a thing.
Yeah.
And he set me to work dismantling these things, pulling chips off.
Hey, yeah. Once again, bedroom colors, here are the seven words.
True casual how he did it, though. Yeah.
Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Ah, Brian, no brown words. Very smooth,
mm-hmm, yeah.
But no brown words.
I apologize. But yeah, so long story short, he was a pager thief who paid me in guitar lessons, and he sucked at guitar. So
I was going to add, like, there's no way he was good at guitar. I refuse to believe that. How many pagers do you think he actually had?
Oh, there were probably, it lined the back wall of his garage, and all those bins were full.
Now, what do you think? Was he stealing them from the manufacturer? I mean, he wasn't stealing them off people.
Right.
Were they all the same brand?
No, and some of them look to have been used heavily. So I'm assuming these came from people or were even tossed in the trash or, you know, who even knows. Some of them looked pretty new. Some of them did not.
Okay.
How much did he pay you to help him dismantle and change out crap in the pagers?
Oh, it was probably $25 for an afternoon's work.
Okay. Pagers were problematic because you knew someone was trying to get a hold of you, and you knew that they wanted you to call them. Mm-hmm. Problem was, you were the person who was responsible for going
returning a
phone. You know, so that was like the hardest thing because if you had a pager, you didn't have a cell phone.
Well, thing, right? You know? If you miss a call, you call back. But if you were out of your house, as Miles's point, like, man, if there was someone on the payphone outside of the grocery store, even come on, man, really, I got to make a call. It's important. They're like, yeah, I'm on my call. You got to wait. Yeah, I hated those days.
I mean, you're right, but also it was
cutting edge technology.
Yeah, it was.
So it's like, right? I'd love that thing. I mean, it's a pain. In retrospect, it's a pain in the butt as it is now, but
back then it was status. People could get a hold.
It's a little, but yeah, I also think,
and it was also just cool. Like, I don't know, like you could find stuff.
I think it depends on age too, right? If pagers have been huge when I was like 16, I would have loved a pager because then my friends at that age were up to the same thing most 16-year-olds are, which is trying to find drugs, booze, girls, whatever. But no one has to call your house. You don't have to have that hush-hush conversation. You know,
yeah.
They could page you. You find that phone booth, and they're like, hey, man, the so-and-so school's having a party. Like, I'm there.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I liked about it. Nowadays, God, I hate when I miss a call. Just like, oh, God damn it, now I have to call them back.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can think of, like, phones right now, like, in the area where I grew up that we would always hit.
I knew certain
you would you would get paid. And, like, sometimes you'd sit around on a Friday night and kind of drive around like, man, I hope somebody hits
us. I'm waiting for someone to page my ass so I can call them back and figure out where we're going to go.
Right. And now kids nowadays, like, everybody finds out about your party. It's almost, I'd say, bad.
It's almost too much, right?
Right. Like, back then, man, like, you wanted a good party. You had to wait to get that page.
It's all right, though, man, because you knew the page was coming. It's an important thing.
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who owned a pager. 206-421-ROCK.
Also, I will say, coaching baseball with my brother, I was still in high school. He was older. And, like, I think I'm throwing BP or something. So I can't hear my pager.
Right.
But it's going off. And I remember finally, he's just like, you better get this effing thing or I'm going to throw it in the outfield. And then he's like, who's got the strongest arm? Throw it. Just throw it out.
For real.
Yeah, they didn't, but he was pissed.
Hello, Marissa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi. Hola.
Hola.
First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Love you guys. I started dating this guy, met him at work, you know, thought nothing of it. Then we start hanging out, meet this woman, and she's selling liquid methadone,
Jesus.
Morphine pills, and Percocet.
Ooh, wow, that's swimming in the deep end.
going into the deep end, and she was getting this all from her doctor.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, right? Of course. Hundreds of pills. No problem. No problem. But he turned out to be a thief and stole from her.
The guy you
did
were
it right
dating.
In front of me, and I had no idea.
Well, how did you meet this woman?
We just met her somehow. He met her. I don't even remember. I started taking a lot of morphine with him.
Ooh. That couldn't have been good.
Yeah.
How long good. Were you doing the morphine?
It was a good couple of years.
Were you with the same guy?
Yeah, same guy. Yeah, I was being a real genius.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the thing about
that's
drugs.
How it works. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly how it works. Don't worry. You ain't getting judged here, friend. Trust me. So what was the moment that you said, I need to stop doing this? What was your come to Jesus moment?
When he wanted to start doing heroin.
Okay.
His tolerance for pills was way too high.
Did he make it out of that all right? Do you know?
Yeah, he did eventually. I don't know if he went back to it. But he had a daughter, and so...
Yeah, kids ruin everything.
They really do. All the
baby
fun.
Mama.
Took all my drug money, so I got to buy diapers and things like this.
Formula.
Yeah. And clothes that
you keep
growing.
Yeah, he was lucky. His parents paid for a lot.
That doesn't shock me.
That a lot of pills people.
In that world.
Yeah, that stuff's not cheap. I like this one. Comment comes in. It says, as far as a unique possession, if it were, it says, I knew an old top executive from Hard Rock Cafe. So I asked him, what was the coolest thing that he had in his office? Which, on a quick side note, like, if you work at Hard Rock Cafe, not work, say your management, do you get to keep any of that swag?
They've got some cool stuff hanging up.
They do.
Yeah. I doubt it. I think it's probably on loan.
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff would be in the, Mopop.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that. Anyway,
Or I think it's kind of like here, right?
What's that?
There's a lot of cool records hanging up, but, like, if you just took one, somebody's going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take one and see. Coolest thing in office, a quilt that Frank Zappa's mom... It knitted from women's underwear thrown on stage during concerts.
Wow. All
right.
That's unique.
Something about that's really cool, though. Not that I want an underwear quilt. It's just the idea that Frank Zappa's mother.
You'd have to wash it.
I'm hoping it was washed before
exactly.
It was quilted.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm assuming she washed them.
Okay.
Assuming she did, yeah.
I don't know if I have anything that weird that I own.
No, I mean, we all.
Or unique.
Yeah, nothing particularly unique. I don't even know if I ever had.
Tommy used to have a quilt that was knitted together from Crown Royal bags.
Oh, yep. That's right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Tom. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, back in the day, I used to sell weed on the street in downtown Seattle. And so, on the 1st through the 5th, which was our biggest days of sales, I would have anywhere from a pound and a half to 2 pounds of weed with me, all in dimes, dubs, and quarters. The funniest thing about it, though, is that because I didn't want to carry all that weed, me and my girl, we had a dog. And the dog had this pack on him.
Like one of those neck pack things?
I don't know, almost like a backpack for dogs.
All right.
But we would literally stuff that thing with as much weed as we could fit in there. One day he had over a pound and a half of weed just on him.
What kind of dog was it? Tell me it wasn't like a Chihuahua or something.
No, he was a small dog. It was a German Spitz and American Eskimo mix.
Okay. I have no idea what that looks like other than fuzzy
little
and four
salt
legs.
And pepper, fluffy with the curly tail.
Little drug mule.
What kind of leash you got for your little drug mule?
We had one of those extendable leashes.
That seems risky.
Why is that?
Well, what if he gets all the way
out? Yeah, a little bit.
If he gets all the way out, somebody's smart enough to know the dog's holding the drugs.
Like, I don't know what looks at my dog and says, that dog's got drugs on it.
No, but if he's selling that much on the street, like, I don't
people
know.
Recognize
right.
him, right?
Okay. Like, be like, go rob the dog.
Well, see, the thing was, most of the people down there that were also selling weed, they knew, but they were buying their weed to sell from me. So,
okay.
Like, why am I going to rob my boss?
I see. All right. So I guess you were on 3rd?
No, I'm a white boy. I was on 4th.
I did not know that there was a barrier there.
Hey, you need to go one block up.
There very much was a strict, you do not go on third unless you got some serious gang colors.
Yeah, I can believe
that. Mm-hmm. Especially outside of a certain restaurant.
Yep.
And I know the one.
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
You think anyone's gone to that particular restaurant you speak of to order food, or are you there strictly? I mean, if you're a tourist.
I've ordered food twice there in my life.
I have purchased something at that restaurant that was not food.
Oh.
And actually, my intent was to go in and get the food that they have available. But when I got in, there were like seven different dudes. You know, they're turning. I'm like, man, I'm not it. Oh, wait, what'd you? Oh, yeah. Come on, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean,
and
they were
not getting food.
They were like emergencies. Were like, we need to eat something quick. Like, screw it. And it was me and a buddy. Like,
I know.
Let's go.
I don't go in there anymore, man. I'm like, I don't need to be here. Hello, JP. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Hola.
Hola.
That's how you say it. Yeah.
What did you say?
I think he said how.
Hola.
Hola.
Just hola. Okay. No H. Yeah, just hola.
Hola.
We got it. So who had one in their possession?
I used to have a copy of Nirvana Bleach on white vinyl, original pressing, that I bought when I was 16, you know, when it came out. And I had this friend who was just kind of a, you know, we were all record buyers and kind of record collectors, and he was a little more slick than I was. He talked me out of it for another copy that was black, and then he gave me a copy of Coffin Break on white vinyl in addition, and that was a good deal. And that record's probably worth like a couple $1,000.
Easily,
man.
That's what happened with baseball card trading, man. The older guy always got you.
What do you mean?
Well, like if somebody had some knowledge, they always knew how to swindle you out of like your better cards.
Oh, sure.
It's for the trade. Like, I'll give you four of these for one of those. Like, right away, you know, okay, like, look.
If that's your deal, I don't trust it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, that's really my thing. If you're offering me, like, if on the surface you're offering more than something's worth, that tells me that what I've got is worth more than I think it is.
The Bowers twins. They used to screw me over all the time, man.
How long did they keep getting over on you, man?
It depended. You know what I mean? Like, they would, they jacked a couple of good Roberto Clemente cards.
So what did you get in return for the cards you lost?
I mean, you know what? It was always like, my gamble was, I'm going to take 10 rookie cards. You know what I'm saying?
And hope one of them pans out.
And hope somebody pops. You know what I mean? For this
one.
But
what did you trade for that?
Oh, my God. Just horrible stuff. Like, I've got, no offense if he's listening, but I got a bunch of Jay Buhner rookies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
what are they worth?
I don't know. He was, you know, he was a Yankee. He did pretty well. They were winning. You know, I figured this guy's going to be great. You know, and he was a great player. Just, I don't know.
Next time you see him, have him sign one of them.
I brought one. I put it in my backpack just so I can get him to sign it, just because I thought it was funny. Because I was actually going to say, look how much younger you are and skinnier.
Did he sign it, or did you remember?
He hasn't been back since
COVID
thing went down. So I haven't been able to see it. Yeah.
Because he might punch you in the face. Too. It's always hard to tell.
He is so big. God, that would hurt. it could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
How much do you think Thrill and I would have to give him to punch you?
I don't think...
Not much, probably like a dollar.
Based on how Miles interacts with him, I think if I just went and said, Jay, will you punch Miles? I don't think he'd be able to ask for anything in return.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd say, hey, can you take my camera and put it on video so I can watch it later?
I was about to say, we'd have to be like, hang on, we got to get Mike in here to film it.
Dude, I got punched by a Gold Glove winner.
Yeah, and it hurt.
That's pretty cool.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I was 20 years old. I was in the military. And I was once in possession of 229 dead bodies.
Why were you in possession of 229 dead bodies, serial killer?
Well, actually, I was in legal possession of them. I was in the, there was a 747 that had crashed on our base. And I had to spend all night in a cooler with them by myself.
But when you say legal possession, is there something, I kind of understand your scenario, but is there something you have to sign? Like when they say, hey, Dave, just so you know, all these bodies right now, anyway, legally, they're yours.
Well, they weren't mine, but I was guarding them. So,
okay.
Yes, I had to be a sign in and a sign out.
I got
to
ask you, is this a crash that we know about?
It might be. It was a Korean flight on Guam, KL-801.
And did it crash at Guam when you guys were there?
Yeah, it crashed on our base.
But it was a civilian plane.
It was a civilian plane, that's right.
Okay.
Wow. Jesus.
I don't know if I remember that or not.
I don't. How many years ago was this?
It was August of 97.
Okay. All right. And so as far, were you part of any of the recovery effort, or was it just, hey, we've done the recovery, but we need you to keep our eye on what's left?
I was part of the recovery and then part of the pass down. And then it went to a giant warehouse where they pieced everything together.
Was so any were people even identifiable after something that horrific?
They were. They identified every single one of them.
Damn. Okay.
All right.
I just figured that thing goes down, man.
Have you been a part of anything remotely like that again?
I have not, no.
That's good.
Was that traumatic? How traumatic was that for you?
I mean, it was pretty traumatic.
I would think so. That would leave a
because you show up at the I'm guessing you show up at the crash site, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And the plane, I'm assuming, is in more than one piece.
It is, yeah.
And so how long did it take to account for and recover all the passengers that were on that flight?
I want to say over a week.
Okay. Jeez, right, man.
I'll tell you right now, my uncle, my godfather, and my dad.
They're all the same person. He's from West Virginia.
They were living in Huntington in 1970 when the Marshall plane went.
Yeah.
And my my godfather, he was a photographer for the student newspaper. So as soon as the plane went down, they had a pretty good idea what was going on because there weren't a lot of planes were coming in.
Sure.
Especially planes at night at that airport. It just wasn't. So when that plane went down,
they already knew who was on it.
They knew who was on the plane.
Jesus.
So the plane was short of the airfield and crashed into the woods. So there was a road that goes out there. They headed out there and, you know, Timmy took pictures because he had to take pictures.
Right.
But they were trying to see if they could save anybody. So everybody who was there was trying to get into that fuselage and see if they could pull anybody out.
Did anyone survive that?
No. But they thought they could get people out.
Sure.
People were everywhere. You know what I mean? Because the plane broke apart in a lot of pieces. And apparently, like, they didn't even want to party for a year after that. And you have to know, these raging alcoholic partiers are 20.
Yeah, I can see that.
21 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, it stunted them. Like, they were not well for a while. Matter of fact, my dad withdrew from college. Went to another company.
Really?
No, because it was everybody in the town they knew. So the doctor's on the plane. You know what I mean? The president of the university's on the plane. The cheerleaders are on the plane. You know, boosters are on the plane. Like, you knew, everybody knew somebody who was on that plane. And then on Monday, they didn't cancel class. So
what day did this happen? Was it like a Saturday or Friday?
Yeah, it came in on Saturday night. So when they went to class on Monday, there were all these empty seats.
Oh,
and you didn't
God.
Know, and people's teachers didn't show up. And all the, you know, because back then, if you were an assistant coach, if you're like, you know, linebacker coach, you also taught. At the university. So, you know, you go into class and your teacher wouldn't be there. Or, you know, like the main doctor on campus who took care of all the students, he wasn't there.
I mean, I guess at the time, there's no way to circulate information quickly throughout a college campus, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
jeez.
It messed him up. It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had blank in their possession. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Tino. Tino, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going?
Doing great, man. Positive Friday.
Positive Friday. Positive. Other than plane crashes.
Yeah, exactly.
Positive Friday.
Yeah, mass destruction.
There it is. Yeah, so my friend had a human skull that she got from her uncle.
Why did the uncle have it?
So apparently it was back in the 70s, he was a construction worker, and I don't unfortunately recall what city it was, but he was working, saw something, called his boss over, for whatever reason, whether they were behind schedule, I don't know, but his boss gave it to him, said, you know, get rid of this. He put it under his shirt, went to his truck, put it in his lunchbox, and decided to keep it. Seems like something like that would get reported. I don't know, but
so what? They're like digging a foundation and they found a skeleton.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, nobody thought like, hey,
skull, as far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, just in case this is someone who is missing or whatever the case might be. That's one. Two. If I am going to smuggle it, I'm not putting it where I put my food. That's just me. Like, I'm not putting it in the lunchbox.
Skull
in the lunchbox.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's like taking food into the bathroom. It seems a little strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he held on to it and eventually
around the early 2000s gave to her. She thought it was kind of cool. She was kind of a morbid girl, and she's like, okay, I'll keep this. And every now and then she'd pull it out for Halloween or something to show us, and we're like, wow, that's just a human skull right there.
Cool.
I'm not sure I'd want a human skull.
I don't either. There'd be some kind of curse or something.
I mean, I have like a small scale version, but it's plastic.
I mean, I have a bunch of skulls around my house. None of these skulls have ever been in someone's head.
It could have been me, but I once knew someone who had possession of a blank. 206-421-RHYME.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.